It always shocks me how abruptly Christmas seems to end. I know it always begins with a trickle. Usually, I think this year I saw some stores peddling Christmas way back in September. And then it begins to crescendo by October. I noticed Christmas movies were streaming on the internet. By November, holiday sales were going full blast. And all through December, everything was Christmas as I would drive through my neighborhood as people talked about their plans and social calendars, altering plans, people traveling due to Christmas, buying things. The roadways around the shopping centers, I noticed, were jammed all through December. The internet was flooded with last-minute buying, and then at long last, Christmas Day, with all sorts of plans being made, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And then, poof, all gone, except for the gift return desk at the stores. For many people, on the day after Christmas, down come the lights, out goes the tree by the side of the street, off goes the holiday music. It's back to bleak midwinter, back to normal, back to working off calories instead of putting them on. Back to the rat race and the conflicts and the bickering. Not much time anymore now that Christmas is over for peace on earth and goodwill to all. And even in the church, Christmas ends abruptly. Take the scriptures we read. Now, our church, the United Methodist Church, along with many others, uses what we call a lectionary, assigned scripture readings for every week of the year. Just 4 days ago, the lectionary had us reading about how Jesus was born in Bethlehem to a poor family who had trouble finding lodging that night. The lectionary just 4 days ago had us reading about how after his birth, his parents swaddled him and placed him in a cattle feeder. Shepherds came that very night after they were invited by angels who were singing to them from the sky. Just 4 days ago, we were singing O Holy Night, Away in a Manger, Silent Night, and we were taking in the full joy of Jesus' birth. And then when I looked at the lectionary for today, just 4 days later, the assigned text has us reading about Jesus already being 12 years old on a trip to Jerusalem with his parents. What gives? In 4 days, according to the lectionary, Jesus goes from being born to being a teenager. Talk about an abrupt end to Christmas. Now, I don't know about anyone else, but when my daughters were born, they didn't turn into teenagers 4 days later. I wasn't thinking even about their first birthday 4 days later, much less junior high, senior high, and them wandering off from their mother and me, like Jesus does in the gospel reading this morning. 4 days after my daughters were born, we were just bringing them home from the hospital. We were just learning all of the adjustments and accommodations. We were just starting to learn the adjustments and accommodations we would have to make for them. They're in their 40s now, and I'm still making adjustments. It just doesn't seem right that the lectionary today has us reading a story about Jesus as a teenager just 4 days after we celebrated his birth. And so, in an act of liturgical disobedience, you will notice that I'm avoiding the Luke scripture assigned for today, and I'm focusing on Paul's letter to the Colossians instead. I'll explain why I want that one. It's in the lectionary, by the way. I'm not willing this soon after Christmas Day to sing one last joy to the world and then move back to business as usual. In the Bible, there are two Christmas stories, sort of. There's the one in Luke that we read on Christmas Eve, focusing on the night Jesus was born. And then there's the one in Matthew, which takes place perhaps over a year after Jesus was born, when the Magi make their visit. But even in our songs and in our decorations, we can't wait a whole year for the wise men to show up. And so if you look at the little manger scenes that we have, we put the wise men right in there with the shepherds on the night Jesus was born. We stick the angel in there and the shepherds and the baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph and some animals and the Magi. The shepherds are on one side, the Magi on the other, all on the same night. We don't want to linger with this birth of Jesus because everything has to be put away in a few days, all these decorations. We start commercialism and marketing of Christmas months ahead of time, but the Christmas story itself, we focus on the Reader's Digest version of it so we can get it over with, maybe in a hurry. In fact, as I'm trying to rack my brain thinking of all the Christmas songs that we sing, there's only one Christmas song that gives us even a little bit of space to get used to the arrival of Jesus in the world. It's the 12 Days of Christmas. And except for the day your true love gives you a partridge and a pear tree, notice that all the other gifts in that song come along after the days of Christmas. You have to wait until New Year's Day to get your 8 maids a milking, and you don't get to hear your 12 drummers drumming until January 5th. In that song, Christmas Day begins simple enough with a partridge, but as the days of Christmas go on and on and on and on in that song, they never seem to end. As Christmas stretches on and on, the whole world soon begins to look and sound different than it was before. The song may start with a little bit of love and a simple gift, kind of like the Christmas story in Luke, but then the song starts to get crazier and crazier, just like having a child does to one's life. As the days go on, life becomes more and more, shall we say, different. Bringing a baby into one's life is like the 12 Days of Christmas song. The whole world is soon whirling and changing, and all who have welcomed the baby into their hearts and homes are forever changed. Christ comes into our lives not like Christmas seasons in this culture, not like Christmas even in our liturgy, which comes and goes, but Christ comes into our lives like a real baby coming into the lives of her parents and maybe siblings and grandparents and aunts and uncles. The blessed day happens, and then the relationship after the blessed day happens just gets bigger and bigger and more weird. And you have to change everything about yourself to make room for what's happening. And pretty soon, you're not even the same person you were beforehand. Likewise, how we usually do Christmas has little to do with how Jesus actually comes into our lives. How we do Christmas seems to end abruptly, even if we take until February to throw out the Christmas tree. There's no abrupt ending, however, when a real human being comes into our lives. And there's certainly no abrupt ending when Christ comes into our lives. That's why I decided to focus on the lectionary offering of Colossians today. It's not specifically a Christmas message, but it's true to what really happens when Christ comes into our hearts, our minds, our homes, our faith communities, or our world. Colossians is all about how we change. There is the old self, and there is the new self. That makes sense to me. When I think about my own life, I can divide it into those two classifications. For instance, there's my old self before I became a pastor, and my new self, one that's been evolving for 52 years now. I think about when I left home. There's my old self from before I left home, and there's my new self also, which has been evolving for decades. The self that began to come into being when I struck out to live life on my own. There's my old self from back when I was single, and my new self after getting married. My old self before having children, I can't even identify with that self anymore. And my new self, evolving again ever since. In my evangelical tradition, there's a special moment when people are invited to intentionally invite Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. That is to say, there's a moment when one makes a vow to obey Jesus and to turn to Jesus for help whenever life gets difficult. I made that vow for the first time when I was 9 years old. And because it's such a difficult and demanding vow to keep, I've had to keep making it with regularity throughout my life. Make it and remake it. It is in the making and the renewing of that vow that makes me aware that I am continually moving away from my old self toward being a new person, a person centered and grounded in the ways of Jesus, a new self, patterned after the mind and spirit and heart of Jesus of Nazareth. Whether it be Christmas or Easter, every time we celebrate an important event in the life of Jesus, such as his birth in Bethlehem or his resurrection, which is another type of birth, every time we celebrate a key event in the life of Jesus, I want to linger and not move on too quickly. Each Christmas and each Easter, I want to seat myself in the stories and prayers and songs of the season. I want to pause in these moments, these liturgical highlights, so that I can meet Jesus again as for the first time. Let me linger for a while in this Christmas season. Give me time to adjust my attitude and my words and my actions to what has happened in Bethlehem. And let me hear the story of Bethlehem just one more time. Let me sing the songs even though the radio isn't playing them anymore, and even when the church has moved back to what it calls ordinary time. After all, when somebody important arrives in your life and then stays, what is ordinary all changes. And so it is with the Colossians text, giving me peace on this fourth day of Christmas. Whatever I do in word or deed, let it all be with Jesus at the center of my heart and thinking. Jesus is born. Therefore, fill me with compassion, kindness, humility, and patience. Jesus is born. Therefore, open my mouth to sing psalms and hymns and songs that give expression to my soul over and over. Jesus is born. Let this truth dwell in me richly, and let me be thankful.